So we are talking about the West Side Fire Recovery Project in the Klamath National Forest, a plan for logging and other activities to pick up the pieces left behind by the devastating fires of 2014. The final plan came out last week. Environmental groups and the Karuk tribe filed suit 3 days later. Craig Tucker is the Natural Resources Policy Advocate for the Karuk tribe on the line with us now. Craig, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
And George Sexton is with you as well, the Conservation Director for the environmental group KS Wild. Welcome, George.
Good morning.
So you filed suit 3 days after the record of decision, so this must have been ready. I guess you had a long enough time to look at the preferred alternative and figured that was the one that was going to be chosen?
Well, we had a pretty good feel for where the forest was headed because we'd been able to review many of the proposals that was submitted to federal agencies for environmental compliance review. So mm-hmm. We had a pretty good idea of what we were going to see when the ROD was signed.
All right, so you got salvage plus hazard plus road maintenance. What's the major beef with the plan, George?
Well, there are several. With this initial challenge, it's the impacts to water quality and coho salmon. And there are several things that the Forest Service is proposing to do that are going to be devastating to creeks, rivers, and coho. In particular, they're proposing post-fire clear-cut logging on steep erosive slopes in the backcountry that are comprised of what they call decomposed granitic slopes. And these slopes are so unstable that in the Klamath National Forest Plan, they've been put aside as geological riparian reserves, which means that if you go in there and clear cut them or run heavy machinery on them, that they're very likely to have those decomposed granitic soils end up in the watershed, the creeks, and the rivers. And so when the Klamath National Forest consulted with the National Marine Fisheries Service, the National Marine Fisheries Service said, yep, this is going to kill coho. And as we know, the coho in these tributaries of the Klamath River are struggling to hang on. So it's that clear cutting of the post-fire soils and the impacts that that has on the watershed values and on salmon runs that we've invested millions in trying to hang on to, and where the communities and the tribe and conservation groups and even the agencies have had decades of trying to bring these runs back, and now we're kind of short-circuiting that by saying we're going to punch in these large backcountry clear cuts in the most erosive and steepest slopes possible.
All right, we're going to interchangeably use, as we have for years now, the term NOAA Fisheries and the National Marine Fisheries Service, but the NOAA Fisheries did green light this plan, didn't it?
They were uncomfortable with a number of elements of the plan. Now, NOAA Fisheries doesn't get to write the logging prescriptions. That's the purview of the Forest Service. The Forest Service then has to consult with NOAA Fisheries. What NOAA Fisheries then does is say, well, you know, your plans are going to have this much impact on the coho salmon. And it's that biological opinion that the National Marine Fisheries Service, or NOAA, issued that is the subject of this first legal challenge.
So if the issue is clear cuts on steep slopes with granitic soils, would another kind of, would a more selective harvest be any better?
Well, I'm hoping maybe Craig can talk about the Karuk alternative, which is, you know, an alternative for post-fire recovery that's informed both by science and 10,000 years worth of cultural local knowledge.
Okay, yes, the Karuk tribe did offer an alternative. Craig, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we're not opposed to logging or cutting trees, that's for sure. But the details are incredibly important, and we have to start with an understanding that these forests have been heavily manipulated by the U.S. Forest Service for the past 100 years, both with fire suppression and clear-cut logging and planting these large plantations of Douglas fir. That's not really what this watershed is supposed to look like. So we're very interested in restoring some of those natural features of the watershed and making sure our communities are protected from these catastrophic wildfires that we often see today. So we put forth a logging plan that was about a third the size of the Forest Service in terms of acres of logging in the plan.
So about 2,000, 3,000 acres, somewhere in that range?
In that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was a reasonable alternative. And we thought it would be the starting point for some real discussions with the forest about, you know, some kind of compromise. And that's just not what we got out of the forest. We got them aggressively pursuing getting as many trees out as they possibly could, and not really listening to the community who was asking for fire protection, but fire protection in a way that did provide for some jobs, did provide for some board feet to the local timber mills. And so we're really disappointed that the Forest Service really just sort of bullied their way through this process and moved forward without us.
The forest chief says in her record of decision that there is lots of overlap between the preferred alternative selected and the Karuk alternative. Do you see the areas of overlap there, Craig?
There is some areas of overlap, and some of that she was sort of driven to through her need to comply with the Clean Water Act and the Endangered Species Act. So I don't think that was as much listening to Karuk and what we had to say as much as it was she just being forced to comply with applicable law. You know, Karuk's been here for a long time, and what people may not realize is for thousands of years, people here use fire on a watershed scale to manage this landscape. And so, you know, Karuk people really do understand how to use fire, and for a large part, that was managing for wild game. It was managing for acorns. So there's a lot of traditional knowledge in how we do this. And we are forming partnerships, the Western Klamath Resource Partners, the Karuk Tribe, and many local watershed groups are working together to bring fire back to the land in a way that really works for the environment, as opposed to doing it in a way that just really sets us up for another catastrophic wildfire.
We're talking about the Westside Fire Recovery Project on the Klamath National Forest, a chance to recover some land or at least treat the land that was burned, more than 183,000 acres in the 2014 fires. Craig Tucker is the Natural Resources Policy Advocate for the Karuk Tribe. George Sexton is the Conservation Director for KS Wild. They are among the plaintiffs that filed suit in federal court to try to stop the plan. Join us on the exchange with your questions or comments, 800-838-3760. Or jx@jeffnet.org. George, is there a specific request for injunctive relief to stop the plan?
There will be. We just filed the suit, and we just got assigned a magistrate, and we're going to pursue all of our options to protect those at-risk coho and watersheds. If you don't mind, I'd like to jump to that reburn issue since it's already come up today.
Good, because I wanted to go there too. And in fact, within the plan, they used the Lake Fire from 1987 as an example where brushy areas instead of true forest grew up where snags were left. What do you think of that example and what actually does happen in your experience with areas where burned trees are left standing?
Well, we all have our own anecdotal perceptions of what we've seen on the landscape. And so I've seen areas that have burned before that have then reburned, sometimes at a low severity, sometimes at a high severity. And I've seen areas that have burned before and then had the fire kind of go around them. You know, a lot of it depends on what's going on with the surface and the ground fuels. So rather than relying on those anecdotal perceptions that I've had in individual areas, I try and look at the peer-reviewed literature, you know, the people who have looked at large landscapes in our geological area. And there are two seminal studies that have done that, both by OSU grad students at the time. One was the Thompson study, the other was the Donato study. And those peer-reviewed studies looked at the 1987 fires, like we just mentioned, and then in the case of the Donato study, and the Thompson study, the Biscuit reburn in 2002. And both of those studies came to the same conclusion, which is that when you clear cut and bring all those fuels down to the surface of the forest and you plant a dense young plantation, those stands tend to reburn at a higher severity than stands that are not salvage logged.
So how would you then treat? Would you plant a few now, a few later, or just leave everything there?
Well, the best thing to do, and this is what the Karuk alternative focuses on, is to focus your logging activities near homes and communities that you want to protect, on ridge lines that you want to use to bifurcate watersheds, and then to use periodic prescribed fire to try and get fire back into those ecosystems on your own terms. And so that was really the focus of the Karuk alternative and what most conservation folks were advocating. And it's also what the author of the Northwest Forest Plan advocated. Dr. Jerry Franklin weighed in on this logging proposal for Westside, because almost all of the Westside clearcutting is located in the old growth reserves called the late successional reserves. And so Dr. Franklin, the author of the forest plan, weighed in and said, this backcountry clearcutting is antithetical to both the Northwest Forest Plan and to reasonable fire management. And even the American Forest Resources Council, the timber industry scoping comments, were surprisingly similar to ours in that we all said, focus your logging around homes and communities, focus on making the transportation system safe, and look at those ridgelines. And so I thought we were going to have a lot of areas of overlap and agreement. But unfortunately, the Forest Service sees this as a cash cow and as a way to get that clear-cut logging back into the old-growth forests in the backcountry. And so politics kind of trumped fire ecology in this instance.
We have an email here from Dave in Ashland on this part of the subject, too. He says, the private lands were salvaged and really impacted Beaver Creek when we had strong thunder showers, as did Blue Mountain landslides. To replant plantations is not the answer. Dave writes, the Grider Creek Wildlife and Historic Corridor area is going to be hard hit by salvaging. The idea you can't leave dead, burned trees is nuts. Nature has a purpose for dead trees to rot and add nutrients and hold moisture. Only hazard tree removal along roads should be done. So, Craig, let's talk about the hazard tree removal. This is to keep trees from falling on roads. Is this merchantable timber, really?
Some of that is merchantable timber, and that's a big element of the Kurok alternative. In fact, that some of the overlap we had with the forest in terms of their plans, and the person that sent you that email is spot on. Some of these creeks are just critical habitat for ESA-listed coho, as well as Chinook salmon, which are really important for both tribal subsistence and commercial fishing. These are really steep slopes, and we've sort of seen this happen in the 80s. These are places that burned and were heavily logged in the 80s, and we've spent decades trying to rehabilitate some of these creeks and get them back in shape to, once again, play host to these fish. And so it's almost like they're repeating the same mistakes over again, and that's the thing that we're sort of pleading with the Forest Service is, we've seen this happen. We've been here. We've seen it. Don't repeat the same mistake. And so we do have to leave some of those burned trees in these deep river canyons to hold the service together. This is very unstable dissolved granite in a lot of these slopes, and we just cannot afford to bury these spawning beds again by allowing them to go in there and clear cut the forest.
Now, obviously, once a process developed, the Kurok tribe did put in an alternative, but would the tribe's preference have been that there not be treatment of the fire area?
Well, it depends on the specific spot of ground you're talking about. The steeper slopes we feel like we need to stay out of. There are other places higher up in elevation on the ridgelines that we think can be treated. We do feel like it's important to set fire breaks on ridgetops. Once we have these system of fire breaks in place, it affords us the opportunity to go in and do controlled burns, which really dramatically lowers the risk of wildfire, which not only protects people's homes, but provides us a healthy forest that we can utilize in a variety of ways, including for commercial timber.
So, are there some merits of the plan as proposed to be put into action that you do see merit in?
There are portions of the plan that we can agree to, but the downsides are so extreme that we had to file suit, and we hope that leads the Forest Service and the other federal agencies to come to the table with us and hash out a solution that the Kurok tribe and other members of the community can agree with.
Now, is the suit against the Forest Service or NOAA Fisheries?
This suit is against NOAA Fisheries, but we're talking to our attorneys about the potential for additional suits against other agencies in the future.
Okay, we're talking about the Westside Fire Recovery Project in the Klamath National Forest with Craig Tucker, who's the Natural Resources Policy Advocate for the Kurok Tribe, and George Sexton, the Conservation Director for KS Wild.